welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hey, we're here with another chapter of Turn the Page podcast, Syosset Public Library's podcast. I am one of your librarian hosts, Stacey, and I am joined by
Jen.
And we are very excited to talk to our guest. I wish I could do like a legit drummel on this, but and our special guest today is Maxwell Britton.
Hi, hello.
Tell us about yourself, Maxwell.
My name is Maxwell Britton. I am a co-author to T-Pain's first book, Can I Mix You a Drink, which was published in November of 2021. I am an established food and beverage executive based in New York City and have been working in the industry for over 15 years.
Very exciting. So how did this come about of you working with T-Pain for this book?
Well, as I mentioned, I've been doing, been working in the food and beverage industry in New York for a pretty long time. And, you know, I've been a part of some really special bars here in New York, which means that we get to have all kinds of interesting and exciting people that come and hang out and have drinks and spend time with me at my place of work. And so just after years and years of doing what I do and, you know, working in some of the bars that I've done, I was invited by T-Pain's team when he was asked to do a book to be his co-author. I think he's a very interesting and talented guy and always wants to do things that are very original and different. And so obviously, you know, he had the option to write, you know, an autobiography or, you know, any kind of book that he wanted it to be. But I think for him, just like me, both of our careers have been kind of built around nightlife. And so for him, I think he felt that it was really important to, you know, to speak to his fan base and things that matter to him to make that a cocktail book. And so I think, I guess I got shortlisted as, you know, one of the candidates that might pair well with him to do the book. And from there, we were off to the races.
I think it is like a very original book. And one of the things that really strikes me as so original is the format, because it's more than just a, you know, a recipe book, and it's more than like a memoir, and it has all these really cool recipes that are interspersed with like funny memories and tips and tricks and jokes. And I'm wondering about what was your process like for how you landed on that format?
It was actually a lot easier than some people might think, just because, you know, it, even, you know, again, it's not an autobiography traditionally speaking, but, you know, to your point, yes, there are these memoirs, and most importantly, we've cataloged, you know, some of the most important songs from his anthology. And so it was really easy to begin that process, you know, once we kind of established, you know, the track list, if you will, that we were going to be following for the book. And that was probably the funnest part in the writing process, because for me, it was all about, you know, taking, you know, listening to a lot of his music, doing a lot of research, getting to ask him a lot of questions about, you know, like, how do we want to embody this, you know, as a libation? What does this look like in a cocktail party? How do we represent you, and how do we represent your songs in drink form? And so that was, you know, really the first couple of months of working was really just that process of just getting to listen to music and explore ideas and, you know, come up with these concepts. So it was a lot of fun. I had a really good time writing the book.
That's awesome. I was saying to Jen earlier, because I was like reading through the book, and I'm a fan of like cookbooks and like mixology books. I have them at home. I'll check them out or interloan them from the library. But I really like the way that you guys have like literally every breakdown that you can about the drink, like what goes into it, what type of glass, like. To me, I'm like a novice of anything. I just be like, oh, like you want a drink? Like, here's your cup. Here's the alcohol I have. Go have fun. I'm not a mixologist whatsoever. And I like that this makes it like, I'm not intimidated to try to make something like any of these. Mm-hmm. They're gorgeous drinks, by the way, like so gorgeous. Like I could just like, it could be like a photo and I mean, my office, what you see right now, but like my office, my home, like they're very pretty. But I like, I'm like, oh, I could, you know, go out and like get these ingredients and like follow it and not be like, oh my God, just give me the rum and call it a day. I like that.
Yeah.
Understand.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's definitely been some timeliness in terms of the way that, you know, we worked on these recipes and the way that we thought people might receive them. And they do range from very easy to make to definitely more advanced in certain cases. But, you know, we didn't want to dumb things down for readers either. You know, we wanted to make anyone feel like, you know, if you want to try this, like this is the steps that you take A through Z, and we'll walk you through everything that we possibly can. And we do give, you know, really annotated recipes for even like the modifiers, things like syrups and infusions and stuff like that. But we also make recommendations for store-bought options. Mm-hmm. If somebody doesn't feel like they want to, you know, go completely homemade all the way. But we started writing the book during the pandemic. And so, you know, this was a time where, you know, all of America was at home making sourdough bread and, you know, finding ways of trying to entertain, you know, their close ones, their friends and their family, whoever was like in their pot or whatever. A lot of people were really kind of getting into these kinds of things. And so we really felt like, you know, our base that, or at least the people that were like, you know, in demand for these kind of things were ready for that type of opportunity to, you know, get to entertain themselves and do something new and different, where it's not just some cookie cutter cocktail book. You know, like you can put on, you know, a whole track list of awesome T-Pain music and, you know, try out these really unique and very different style cocktails that, you know, people probably haven't seen before now.
Yeah. One thing that I found was so interesting was like the way that some drinks combined, like what we would consider like top shelf ingredients with some, like quotidian everyday type stuff. Like, so for instance, I was like looking at the drink called the Booty Work, which features Red Bull and like orange flower water, you know, and I thought that was an interesting, fun combination. And I'm wondering, like, how do you go about these experiments? Like, how do you figure out like what to mash up, you know, and like figure out
what goes well?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was definitely really interesting because I think that was kind of where Maxwell and T-Pain met in the middle, you know, where, you know, our worlds would collide. And there were certain things that, you know, he felt were really essential to be a part of certain drinks that, you know, we were working on in the book. And, you know, I guess I could have easily said, you know what, no, I don't think there should be Red Bull in this drink, or, you know, I don't think that we should be putting, you know, he had all kinds of really crazy ingredient requests. And I decided that it would be much more interesting and much more fun to meet that challenge and say, you know what, like, I love this idea of being able to create these drinks where, you know, there's certain things that are really accessible and really easy to understand. And then, you know, pull things out from my arsenal of, you know, things that might be a little less known, but easier to find. They're just in sometimes parts of the grocery store people don't always shop from.
I'm scrolling through on the side on my other monitor. I just like, I really love these images. They're gorgeous. So I do you have a favorite drink in the book itself that you guys came up with? Which is your favorite?
There's definitely a bunch that I think have become really popular. And it's been also really fun because our hashtag on Instagram, Can I Mix You a Drink, has also taken a bit of a rise over the last couple of months. And so it's really cool because, you know, people will hashtag it. And so I can always see, you know, people who are fans of the book on social media. And I also get to see a lot of at-home bartenders and entertainers that are, you know, playing with the drinks that are in the book. So one of the drinks that has become really popular that is a favorite of mine and a favorite of T-Pain's and seems to be a favorite of a lot of people is 5 o'clock, which is one of the very first recipes in the book. I think it's towards the front, and really it's a root beer float. So it takes vanilla ice cream and stout beer and a fistful of bourbon whiskey. There's some whipped cream and edible gold flakes. So it's just this like very, very adult style root beer float. And people really love that for all kinds of different reasons. It's very easy to make. It's very accessible. It's easy to understand. So I love that one, especially this time of the year. It's a great, great drink in these colder months that we're having all over the country right now. Another one that I love that I've just that really love a lot is Red Cup. And so in that particular drink, the actual request that I was given was a drink that is served in a red cup. And that, you know, can be something that might be really common in at barbecues and picnics and, you know, house parties and stuff like that. And so I loved that challenge because, you know, I'm so used to working with beautiful glassware and, you know, being able to kind of use the presentation of, you know, a drink or a vessel to have be full real estate, but you don't see anything that's inside of, you know, a red cup.
Yeah.
And so it was all about kind of like, okay, well then how do I really make this pop and how do I communicate, you know, what is in this thing that, you know, people might be walking around and drinking. And so I feel like it's one of the, like the most eye grabbing drinks that we have in the book. And it's really funny because it kind of reminds me of, there's these very old cocktails that you guys probably seen or heard of, things like juleps or sherry mm-hmm. cobblers. And, you know, these drinks are, you know, extremely traditional, very conventional in the, you know, cocktail trade. And so this is just sort of like the house party version of like a julep or a sherry cobbler. And I just thought it was so cool just to kind of like really modernize these things. And even the ingredients that we have in that drink are pretty crazy. I mean, it even has White Claw that goes into it, you know, so which is like one of those things that everybody knows about, everybody's had before. So it's really pulling inspiration. It's like an intersection of like all these different, archetypes of drinks and drink environments. So I think it's a really special cocktail.
I'm curious about, like, in general, the glassware that you specify, are all the glasses chosen for purely aesthetic reasons, or sometimes is the shape of the glass enhance the flavor of the drink, or like what kind of decision making goes behind that?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, I mean, I think there's sort of standards that you want to have stocked behind your bar at home, or, you know, if you go out anywhere. And so, like, let's say, you know, Collins, you know, which is just a tall glass for, you know, making things like highballs. That's a very traditional thing that you would find in cocktail bars. Tumblers is another thing that, you know, should be stocked in most places. And coupes are, you know, kind of like those little champagne goblets that, you know, people see around. Those might be a little bit more niche. But for the most part, you know, we're really working with some pretty standard pieces of glassware, for the most part. But I love that question because, I'm a huge glassware dork and, you know, have a big collection of all kinds of vintage glassware. And, as a bar and restaurant operator, I've, you know, purchased from so many glassware catalogs. I look at that stuff all the time.
Do you have a favorite type of drink outside of what you worked on the book? Like, what's like your go-to?
Yeah, I go through phases. I've been doing this for a very long time, you know, so it's, you know, it's like asking a chef if they make themselves like super elaborate dinners every single night of the week or whatever. And so I would say, like, most recently I've been really into making what's called freezer martinis. Freezer martinis are really cool and really fun because basically anybody with a freezer can basically make this drink. Basically all you really need is your choice of vodka or gin. Of course, you also have to have vermouth with your martini. And then what you do is you actually add, a certain percentage of water to, sort of dilute the entire batch. And so the purpose behind that is if you were traditionally just making yourself a martini to order, you would be adding ice and, you know, you'd have to stir it for a certain amount of time. And so that actually translates to a certain percentage of water dilution that you're making to order. So in this, we skip that process of using equipment like glass, like mixing glasses and spoons and ice and strainers. And we basically create the proportion of, you know, what that ratio is with your base alcohol and your vermouth and your water. And so when you're done with concocting everything, you put it back into the bottle and you stick it in your freezer, and it never freezes because it's just the alcohol content doesn't allow that to happen. And so when you're ready to pour yourself a martini, you just grab the bottle and you pour it into a glass and throw in an olive and your martini is ready to go. So for me, So it sounds kind of complicated from the beginning, but there's something just so awesome about like, yeah, like I only have to make a cocktail like once a week or whatever, you know, because I got a whole bottle of martinis in my freezer and all I have to do is just pour it right out and it's ready to go.
That's awesome. That's like a very low-key way of having like a cocktail on tap at home, you know, like.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. And it just sort of, and that, and I guess like I kind of picked up on, you know, finding these different ways of having a similar level of enjoyment to a cocktail without going through, you know, all of the intense challenges that sometimes comes with it. And the book in a lot of ways is definitely really running that fringe of, you know, high brow, low brow type of, you know, drinking that we put into it. So I think that's really cool. And I'm kind of going on a tangent, but another thing that I would like to share with anybody that has the book or, you know, wants to make some of these things, you know, we talked a little bit about the, you know, some of the homemade ingredients that, you know, you can elect to make if you choose to. And a lot of those kind of end up producing kind of a high volume. You can't really make like a small amount, you know, so let's just say like, you'll admit you're just making a couple of cocktails for yourself and a friend. But you end up with like a whole quart of, you know, of like an infused spirit or a whole quart of syrup or something like that. The cool thing about doing those parts of the book, if anybody wants to, is that they're very shelf stable. So they have the ability to, you know, withstand sometimes. I mean, if it's just alcohol, like an infusion, it's indefinite. But for syrups, you know, a lot of the time those can last for up to a month. So it's kind of cool, you know, when you make some of these things, you know, it's like, hey, I know I'm just doing it this one time, but now I always have this thing in my fridge and, you know, I can make stuff with it for the next month.
That's really cool. I didn't think of that. I mean, like what you said with the like alcohol, that'll really be.
But yeah, I wish we editorialized that a little bit better because obviously, you know, I'm always reading the Amazon reviews and, you know, they've been great. Really nice feedback, but we did get one like 4-star review instead of a 5-star review. And someone was kind of like, oh, I wish I didn't have to like make so much of this stuff. And I was like, man, I wish that person knew that this is very shelf-stable. Like you don't have to throw this stuff away. Like the point is like, now you know how to make it and you always have it.
But some of the stuff that's like not like the syrup or like the bitters or something, you could use it to make like a non-alcoholic drink.
For sure. Yeah. And you can make all kinds of different drinks with it. You don't have to, you know, limit yourself to the book by any means.
Hmm. Yeah. That's what I was going to say, is that the book really demonstrates like how versatile some of these ingredients are. Like they go with other ingredients that have like completely different flavor profiles. And it's just like, it's really interesting to see how the different pieces fit together.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
I'm just reading the end of the book of the mix and cheat codes that Keeping's like, yes. I'm letting Maxwell handle this. Bye guys.
Yeah.
I like that you kind of differentiate, like you have, you know, preferred brands, which is great. Cause if someone's just walking into this, I'm like, oh, I want to make this, but like, I don't really know what's a good thing. You go like, oh, Here's one. But like, you know, you could buy it wherever. Like
Yeah. And I mean, again, a lot like all these things you can buy in a grocery store for the most part. I think, you know, obviously not every town has like a Whole Foods or, you know, mm-hmm. a really nice like liquor store or whatever. But I would say, you know, most parts of the country, if you go to like a cheese shop or, you know, like one of the, like an artisan's bakery or something like that, a lot of places actually really carry a large amount of these products that we, describe in here. And they're not that hard to find online either. So we really just wanted to make sure it's like, hey, if you feel lost or you don't feel, you know, like you have the time or, you know, like you just want to have a drink, like you can definitely, you know, find these products. And there's so many of them, the cocktail, demand around the world has become so large that the amount of products that are out there now is so amazing compared to, you know, what was available to me when I first started, you know, working as a bartender 15 years ago.
But I do really like, and I don't think any of us could stress enough just how accessible you make the book. Because like you said, if you're not like, not everyone lives in like something that could be like New York City, like we're a library based on Long Island in New York. So we're, you know, we're close to the city and we have Whole Foods and other stuff like that. But you could have people who are fans of whether it be food and drink or big fantasy, mm-hmm. and that could be more rural. And it's like, oh, I gotta go like look on, like they could look online to buy something because the ease of that. But just yeah. going to their grocery store, they'd be like, oh yeah, no, like I could do this, like
yeah,
I like it. I don't like it. I love it. That's really cool. I was like, I do see some drinks in here that I'm gonna wanna try. And I'm very excited. So my brother-in-law is like a big drink guy, like not just like spirits and whatnot, like tea, coffee, like he's like the family snob in like a good way.
Yeah.
So his Instagram is the nice drinks in life. And he'll always be like, oh, I got like this tea or like this. But usually if we're out to eat as a family, I'm like, what do I want to get? Like, you know, my tolerance of like what I'm willing to handle for taste. So usually like we were just out to dinner as a family celebrating birthdays. And I was like, what do I want on this menu? Like, I'll just be like, Dan, like, tell me what I kind of want. Or, and if he's like busy deciding like the wine for the table, I'll like bother my husband and be like, Andrew, just tell me what looks good. I'm a basic person. Just give me a margarita and I'm happy. Like,
right. Yeah.
But there's stuff I'm like, oh, like this looks interesting. I kind of want to try it.
Yeah, we definitely, I mean, we were trying to be really intentional with the, like the range of options that we have in here. Like I know that no one's going to be making every single one of these drinks. I would be so surprised if that ever happened. Who knows? But, I think, you know, we wanted to make sure that there was a really good variety of different bourbons and different vodkas and different, you know, gins. And if there's even, you know, some wine and beer cocktails that we have in the book as well. And so, you know, to me at that, especially we were talking about like the, you know, development of the book. And so for me, that was very similar to, you know, what I do in my day job, which is developing and creating menus where, you know, you have to make sure that you're not skewing too far in one direction or another. You know, some people don't like juice in their cocktails. Some people want to have like an old fashioned or Manhattan or martini style drink. Other people don't like those things. And so it was all about kind of like, no one will ever really be able to decipher it except for me, but just knowing that there are these varieties and that we have an actual like prescribed number of these things for a reason, you know, so that we can reach out to those people out there that have, you know, really specific, very specific preferences.
One thing that struck me was that one of the little like drinking tips that T-Pain provides is that when you go to somebody's house, instead of giving liquor as a gift, to give a cocktail set, like the you know. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if there, you know, this really speaks to the importance of having the right tools. And I was wondering if there are any tools that you deem essential beyond like the shaker and the strainer.
That's a really good question. Yes, I do. But there are things that they're not very exciting things. and, you know, I guess I'll try to start with like one that's probably more exciting than the others. But I think that mandolins are really good bar tools. And so, you know, they look like paddles and you can kind of control the size of what you're slicing with them in a way. And so they're very, very sharp. You have to be very careful with these. Probably one of the reasons why we don't advertise it in the book is something that, you know, somebody should probably use, but it's something that allows you to have really consistent and uniform, garnishes, when it comes to slicing things, which I think is really good. But I think that there's other stuff I probably didn't include that people won't be thinking of when they're looking at like the set of tools that they should be using when it comes to the book. And it's stuff like making sure that you have a good stock of bar towels available, you know, maybe having an apron so that, you know, you can keep your clothes clean while you're entertaining. Another one that I would say is like making sure that you have your trash can nearby, very accessible. And these are all things just to kind of like just keep the efficiency and maintenance of all the other tools that are already suggested. So that way, like, you're just kind of keeping your workspace kind of clean and easy to work in, because, you know, next thing you know, there's a huge mess and you've had a couple of cocktails and you don't want to clean it up. And, it's tips like that, I would say, are things that, you know, people never think of, that are just very utility. But I would say, you know, most cocktail kits kind of come with everything that you need, a jigger, a spoon, a mixing glass and a shaker tin, and a strainer. Maybe a double strainer is, I mean, I know we have that in the book as well, but those are also kind of nice to have if you want to kind of make things look a lot more perfect. All these other things are just kind of suggestions. Doesn't really change the quality of the taste of the drink too much.
I love that you brought that up, because in the book, I was like, oh my God, are you my friend? Because if we have friends over, like, you know, every now and then with pandemic life, is that like, they're like, oh, can I bring anything? Like, you want box? Like, I'll have a friend that's like, I'm going to Trader Joe's, box wine, or like, I'm bringing bottles. Right. And I'm like, if you come to my house with more alcohol, like, I'm turning you around. I have enough alcohol. Like, I don't need more. I don't drink like a lot at home. So I was just like, I don't need like 5 bottles of red wine just to sit here and look pretty.
Yeah.
Some of them, well, I like that it's like, bring the kit. Like, it's something that, you know, you've got fun together, like, there, or, you know, it's just something nice. And I do agree, it will be memorable. I'm now, next time, like, my friend says, oh, I'm coming over to celebrate, like, I'll bring my wine. And I'm like, no, come bring this. I don't have this.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, definitely. I would say, you know, definitely having your measuring tools is probably the most important thing to start. You can kind of make a shaker or a mixing glass out of almost anything, but just making sure that you're measuring your things proportionately and accurately. It's very confectionery, you know, these kinds of recipes and these drinks. It's just like, you know, if you're trying to make a batch of cookies and, you know, it says like, make sure that you keep your butter cold and make sure that you're using, you know, 1 tablespoon. If you're using warm butter and you use 2 tablespoons of butter, it's not going to come out well. It's not going to taste the same. And I don't know if everybody realizes, like, it is actually very important that you check off those boxes the way that they're described. Going back to the tools, one other thing I was going to say that I would suggest that not everybody thinks of is silicone ice trays are really awesome. And that's one way that you can really easily level up your home bar and your home entertainment game. When it comes to entertaining people with drinks, and you can get them in all kinds of different shapes and sizes. They're a lot better than those plastic trays, which, you know, are a lot harder to work with and a lot harder to freeze. You know, you can make large ice cubes, you can make spheres, you can do all that stuff. And then my last suggestion would be to just get like, have a large dedicated Tupperware container with an airtight lid. And so when you're done making your ice, you know, make sure that you get it all out of the tray and then put it in that lid. And so that way it's being kept nice and fresh and it's not being interfered with, you know, maybe some of the other aromas and the other ingredients that you might need to be keeping in your freezer. So that way those flavors aren't getting into the cocktails that you're making at home.
Oh, nice. That's a very good, very good
tip. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just a librarian who enjoys a drink every now and then. But no, I like these tips. And I think a lot of our listeners and readers of the book would be like, oh, like, let me step up my game and do this. It's not requiring a lot. Because I feel like a lot of people get, like, I've said it before, like, overwhelmed of like, oh, like, I need, like, I mean, I'm looking at the drink of the what you want. And it's like, okay, you need an ounce jigger, a Boston shaker, a Hawthorne strainer, fine strainer, microplane. And I'm like, what is a Boston shaker? Like, but I mean, we also live in the day and age of like, you could Google something real quick of like, what is this? Or
I mean, some of these things, you know, people do already have at home, not so much the bar tools per se, but most people have cutting boards. Most people have paring knives. You know, the microplane might be for more of like an intermediate home chef, but you know, a lot of people do have those microplanes, which is, you know, for zesting citrus and stuff like that and cooking most of the time. So anybody who cooks just a little bit will probably be able to find maybe 40% of those tools somewhere in their kitchen.
True. I do have a microplane, but that's it's either if I bought it because I do like baking and I've used it for stuff with that, or in the process of years ago when I got married, people were just like, here, you need all this. I am happy. I do have fancy glasses, though.
Oh, that's nice. That's good.
So I finally broke out the other day for a birthday celebration. I was like, I'm going to drink out of my nice glass. Like, I'm going to be fancy.
It's a good way to have a way to drink. But having the right glassware, or even like the right, you know, shape of ice is just like a really kind of easy way to elevate a drink very easily. You know, kind of like
just
presentation. Yeah.
Hospitality is all about just, you know, kind of anticipating, you know, what anticipating people's needs before they even think they need them. And, you know, honestly, there aren't things that people really need, but it's just, they're things that sort of support this sort of sense of thoughtfulness and consideration, that, you know, take something that isn't really going to change flavor wise very much, but it's those kinds of details that make it go from something that tastes good to something that tastes amazing, because you realize your host has put so much more thought into all these tiny little details. You know, stuff like, you know, keeping your ice fridge in a container in your freezer, and, you know, using fresh ingredients whenever you can. You know, all these things kind of, it's really the sum of its parts. And I think it's really special. Another thing I was going to say, cause Stacey mentioned baking. And so, you know, even if you don't have stuff like jiggers, you know, for measuring, you know, measuring cups are just fine. You can totally do that. They usually have like a lot of them have ounce increments on the other side. So, you know, no one should feel completely limited just because they don't have every single tool perfectly. You know, unless they're planning on making cocktails all the time, it's still pretty easy to make a lot of these things if anybody finds themselves, you know, missing any one of those items.
You bring up a good point. I have to say, you said before you'd be surprised. I was like, challenge accepted. I'm going to try to make this like the whole, and I'm like, including Jen, even though we don't live together. Like, we're going to do this work project. We're going to make the drinks, Jen.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
But it's cool that you have the interactive hashtag, though. I didn't know that you got hashtag, can I mix you a drink?
Ooh. Yeah, it's been kind of, it's really fun because, so you can follow hashtags on Instagram. So, and I don't really follow very many hashtags, but, you know, I use Instagram all the time, like most people do. And so I'll just be scrolling through my feed and just, you know, like looking at my friends or looking at some like restaurants or whatever. And then all of a sudden, like some posts will pop up and it's at the top, hashtag, can I mix you a drink? And you can see, you know, anybody who's purchased the book that just enjoys it. And then I've definitely seen a handful of home bar enthusiasts that are making different drinks from the book. And so it's been really satisfying kind of seeing, you know, the different ways people are enjoying it at home right now.
So yeah. What are, like, are you planning on doing like another book anytime soon? Are you allowed to tell us that?
Yeah, I guess I am allowed to tell you that because I'm not, because I haven't been signed by another publisher yet. But, you know, I'm certainly looking forward to writing, more books in the future. And, I definitely now have a new appreciation for cocktail books that I didn't before. I mean, I have a humongous library of them. But having done something so conventional as my first book, I now have this taste for looking for like really unique and different ways of, you know, sharing the cocktail world with people that might not be the same as just those traditional recipe books that are very common these days. It's been really cool doing something kind of outside of my space, but still kind of, and being able to speak to, you know, a much larger audience.
But no, it's been very, very exciting talking to you. I really just, I can't stop looking at these, and I keep taking like a mental screenshot of it, of being like, all right, like this looks cool. It won't ever look like that in my house, but that's fine. But it's cool that you make it interactive and you're opening a world to, I like that the mix that you guys, because it's his music with like your creations and input and your expertise. And it's just really cool to have that, because like, I don't think people have done this before, but you said there's a lot of popular drinks out there. I mean, like the books, I've seen them go into publisher events. I have friends that like, for a on a Secret Santa friend's like, you like tequila, here's a tequila book. And I'm like, thanks. Or because I'm a librarian, so I have like, I think it was like Tequila Mockingbird, like books based, drinks based on books or like the authors. So I was like, oh, that's cool. But I like that this like is a whole realm. And like, I just think it's very well done.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book.
I would like to give just a couple shout outs. And one of them would be to Madeline Ross and Brian Boykin. So Madeline was actually the photographer for our book. And Brian, who's her husband, was also one of the stylists. So we worked very, very closely with the team that was able to put together, you know, the final result that went into the book. So I just wanted to say thank you to them and to my publisher, Marvis Johnson of Kingston Imperial. And since I'm on your podcast, I also wanted to give a shout out to my aunt, Pamela Jewett, who is also a librarian based in Columbia, South Carolina.
Nice.
Thank you so much for coming on our podcast, Maxwell.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Absolutely.
This has been Jen and
Stacey, and we are closing this chapter on Turn the Page podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.